Bill will come forward and read the scripture for us. Does such a wonderful job introducing it.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. How are you today? Today's scripture is about the beginning. It's about the covenant between God and man. It is a result of Abraham's faithfulness to God when he left his land to go and live in another land at God's command. In these times, it was a great thing to leave your land where you relied on your neighbors and your friends to keep you safe and to go into another land full of dangers. God is asking Abraham to go into another land and to rely on God solely for protection rather than his family and friends. Because Abraham put his faith and literally his life in God's hands rather than relying on himself or other people, he was rewarded by being made the father of many nations. In token of this covenant, God also changed his name from Abram to Abraham, meaning from a high father to the father of a multitude. And because Sarah was also faithful with him and was without children, God honored her with a child. He also changed her name from Sarai, which means my princess, to Sarah, that signifies princess of all. The significance of this covenant is that it was the beginning. It started to lay the way for the Messiah to come to us. And that's what our blessing is in this scripture. Please listen to Genesis 17, 1 through 7, and also 15 and 16. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham, Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very faithful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of all nations. Kings of people will come from her." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture. Thank you.
You like jokes? Well, I've got a groaner for you today. I haven't told one of those in a while. A man was refused entry into a fancy dining establishment one day because he was not wearing a necktie. The doorman sent him away with instructions to only return when he had an appropriate necktie, but he let him in to dine. The fellow went back to his car and rummaged through the car and opened the trunk and was looking to see if he had a tie, maybe somewhere or something he could use for a tie, but he couldn't find one. So finally he found a pair of jumper cables. So he decided to fashion a necktie out of jumper cables. So he returned to the door of the club. The doorman saw those jumper cables around his neck and said, "Well, I guess technically this is some kind of a necktie." So he said, "You can come on in." Then he added, "Just don't start anything." I warned you. I know it's a groan or a bad joke, but here's where we begin our message for today. People in history who have impacted our lives were most determined to start something, to act on faith, to take the next step, to put one foot in front of the other one and begin to walk, begin to move, to become people of faith and action. Nearly 2,000 years before the time of Christ, God came to a man called Abram and gave him a command and gave him a promise. He was to go from the land of his father to the land that God would show him, and God would cause him to be a father of a great nation. And then we read one of the most important statements in all of literature. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. He went. He did what God asked him to do. So Abram took the next step. He started walking. Did I mention that Abram was 75 years old at this time? That's 15 years older than I am now. That's hard for me to imagine. At that time, you'd pack up all your belongings and not just hop on a nice airplane or a nice car, rent a van. He had to walk, gather all of his people, all of his servants, all of his belongings, and leave everything. And he couldn't just get his cell phone and call back all the time or get his GPS and do it. He has to trust God. Abraham started something, a new people, a new nation. And this, by the way, is what faith is. God speaks and we obey. We get started. We start walking. We start moving. God speaks and we get into action. Sometimes that is all we need. Sometimes our biggest obstacle in our faith and our lives is lethargy. We simply need to get moving. Recently, I read about Henry Brown. He was a slave in Richmond, Virginia, who decided that he didn't want to be a slave anymore. And good for him. Who would want to be that? But it was 1856. And slaves, if they ran away and were caught, could be hung, and we know that many were caught and hung. So that's a good motivation just to say, well, I don't want to be hung, so I'll just be a slave and I'll just live my life like this. But that was not an option for Henry Brown. So he found a wooden crate just large enough for him to be able to fit inside of, and he heard of a man's name in Philadelphia, an abolitionist. So he got into this crate, closed it, shut it from the inside, and he mailed it to this man. And it took him 3 weeks for it to arrive. No FedEx, no overnight delivery. 3 weeks. How did he even survive for 3 weeks in that crate? But he did. When the man received it, he took the lid off, and Henry Brown stood up and said, "How do you do, sir? My name is Henry Brown, and I was a slave. I heard about you being an abolitionist, so I am entrusting my future to you." Sometimes what is most important is to simply get moving. God speaks, and we begin to act. Today's lesson takes place nearly 25 years after God's first call to Abram. Abram is 99 years old now. He's no spring chicken. He has followed the Lord's leading from the time the Lord first called him out of his land. But the Lord has been slow to reward Abram's faith. He and his wife Sarah are still childless. And how can Abram, a father of a great nation, if he and his wife cannot even produce one single heir? That's faith, patience, persistence, trust. Surely Abram and Sarah were ready to give up nearly 25 years and no return on their investment. That's a long time to wait. When do you cut your losses? When do you give up? When you say it was all an illusion, the promise didn't pan out, that could have been their attitude. Instead, they chose to trust God. And the Lord appeared to Abraham again. The Lord reaffirms that promise of long ago, but this time it is stated even more forcefully. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And God changes Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. And of course, God kept his promise. At 90 years of age, Sarah bore a son. From that son came countless heirs of Abraham, both physical descendants and spiritual descendants, of which you and I are spiritual descendants of Abraham. I don't know if you've ever sang that song, Father Abraham. I used to sing that. I kind of like that song. It's an amazing story, and there's some lessons from Abraham and Sarah's life that you and I need to understand. I think the first lesson is that our timetable may not be God's timetable for our lives. I think Americans especially, are very impatient people. Everything is instant. Instant pudding. Instant meals. We can't even go to a restaurant. We stand in line. If there's two people in front of us, we're impatient. We want it now. I got to wait for two people in front of me. Now, give it to me. As someone has put it, God's promises delayed are not God's promises denied. Dr. Ray Pritchard gives a humorous chronology of 25 years between the first time that God promised to make him a son and the time when that promise was fulfilled. Kind of cute. At age 76, Abraham buys a crib. At age 78, they make a list of possible boy names. At age 80, they order a supply of super absorbent Pampers. At age 85, Abraham goes hunting while Sarah's friends give her a baby shower. At age 86, they put up wallpaper in the baby's room in the tent. At age 90, they subscribe to New Parent magazine. At age 93, Abraham and Sarah start Lamaze classes. At age 96, Abraham drives a practice run to the hospital. At age 98, he packs the suitcase and sets it by the front door. And at age 99, Abraham scratches his head and says, I wonder if God was just kidding. I think I've decided in my life, I think God's just pulling my leg. He's just teasing me. He's just messing with my head. I'm a bit impatient, and I think most of us are. None of us like waiting. We grow impatient when God doesn't answer our prayers right then, and especially the way that we want and desire our prayers to be answered. And yet God is faithful, always faithful to the promises that he has made to us. Our timetable is not the same timetable as God's timetable. And God's promises delayed are not God's promises denied. But there's another thing we need to say. God's purposes are grander than our imagination can envision. Abraham and Sarah had dreams for their lives, just as you and I and everyone else has dreams. They dreamed about where they would live, what their work would be like, would they have children and grandchildren? How old would they live to be? Would they be prosperous? What would their lives be like? But do you think ever in a million years they sat down and they talked to one another and thought, well, you know, one day there'll be churches and synagogues and temples. And thousands of years from now, they'll be telling our story on Sunday mornings and Saturdays and Wednesday nights. Can you imagine? Over a billion Christians and a billion Muslims and Jews, all descended from that lineage of Father Abraham. You see, they could not see their lives apart in a grander purpose that existed in the mind of God. We can look back and see it now because we read it, but when you put yourself in their shoes and try to understand it, it's different. You and I believe, think too small. If only we could imagine what God can do with our lives. Way back in 1858, a Sunday school teacher in Chicago named Ezra Kimball was trying to get up the courage to go down and walk into a shoe store. He wanted to witness to a man and tell him about his faith and about Jesus Christ and what Christ could do for him and what he had done for him. So he walked by the store a couple of times, trying to work up the courage. It's not always easy. Some of you thought about doing it and backed out before telling someone. It's a little intimidating. What if they say no? What if they tell me I'm a radical? But he went on in, and the shoe clerk Kimball showed such interest in that day was named Dwight L. Moody. Some of you know that name very well. Kimball got through to Moody, and Moody went on to become the greatest evangelist of his time. But this is just the beginning of what God could do through that one Sunday school teacher's witness. Just one. Dwight Moody went on to preach a crusade in England in 1879 and had a great awakening in the heart of Frederick Meyer, pastor of a small church. And then Meyer went on to be a great theologian. In fact, Meyer was preaching in Moody's school in Northfield, Massachusetts, and a young man in the back row heard Meyer say, "If you're not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing?" And those words transformed the ministry of another young man, J. Wilbur Chapman, and Chapman became a YMCA worker, founded with Christian principles as an institution. And among those who Chapman recruited to help him in his ministry was a former professional baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday. Some of you know that name. He became the greatest evangelist of his era. Later, a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina, Billy Sunday so excited a group of men that they put a prayer group together. They would meet every week, and then they decided to invite an evangelist to come to their town, Mordecai Ham. And while Mordecai Ham was preaching, a young man by the name of Billy Graham came forward and gave his life to the Lord. And how many people have been touched by Billy Graham? I know I have. A Sunday school teacher touching someone, not knowing that him witnessing to that one person, affecting and influencing that one life, was helping to change thousands, maybe millions of lives. What you do, how you do it, you speaking to one person could change the world. That child that you teach in Sunday school or junior church or vacation Bible school or that neighbor that you witness to, you have no idea what might happen and how they might influence Christianity, the world, how many people might end up following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because of it. You and I just think too small. We need to think on the grander scheme of things. Try to think like God might. But the last thing is in trusting God that our lives find their greatest fulfillment. Following Christ is not just about building God's kingdom, it's also about discovering the abundant life for ourselves. When you find Christ, when you follow Christ and listen to Christ, your life changes. You become a better person, and I believe you become a happier person. And I'm always talking about that peace that passes all understanding. And you might go through troubles and trials and tribulations and get beat down some, but I believe that when you have Christ as your foundation, you rise back up to that place because of Christ, and you get your feet planted back on that solid foundation. So I'm trying to say to you, when you follow God's leadership, you're not only a part in God's great plan for creation, but you find the most fulfilling life for yourself as well. So take the time to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? What is your grand purpose for my life? Help me to put myself, my will, my ambitions out of the way for a while and say, God, what do you want and what do you desire of me? Can you do that? How can I serve you, God? How can I become pleasing to you? Abraham and Sarah did as God commanded, and God rewarded them far beyond their wildest dreams. Not as quickly as they might have hoped and thought about, because God's timetable is not like your and my timetable. But God rewarded them far beyond anything that they could ever have imagined. In other words, to me, it was worth waiting for. That became a blessing to the entire world. And you and I are blessed today because of it. What we need to do is act upon our faith, believe, act upon our faith, and take the next step. Get busy, get walking, do something for yourself, do something for God. You could touch thousands of lives by touching one. May God bless you. Amen.